Thank you. it's approved.
Well, that's brother Dylan and brother Zach.
259.
The pathway of sin so long I had trod, Jesus can come above. Peace, oh peace to me, oh glory to God. Mercy, what wondrous love. Oh glory to God, it's holy, not new. Since we will rise, I know. He lifted me up and caused me to stand up. That's why I love him so. Though friends in this land may turn me away, Christ will my prayers attend. I'm glad in my heart that now I can say that Jesus is my best friend. Oh glory to God, it's holy, not new. Since we will rise, I know. He lifted me up and caused me to stand up. That's why I love him so. I'm happy today, I'm going along. The Savior is kind and true. He lifted me up and gave me a song. Singing the whole way through. Oh glory to God, it's holy, not new. Since we will rise, I know. He lifted me up and caused me to stand up. That's why I love him so.
Amen. It's good to be in the Lord's house once again today. The Lord has blessed us with another opportunity to meet together and to come and to serve him, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for each and every one that has come this way today. I'm thankful for our guests that we have today. And I just pray that as lately the Lord has been meeting with us, that he'll meet with us again today. I pray that his spirit will be upon the service and that he'll guide us in each and every aspect. That's what we need. We need his guiding hand in our songs, in our prayer. And I know without a shadow of a doubt I need the Lord's help when I try to stand to preach his word. And I desire an interest in your prayers today as I try to stand and bring forth those things that the Lord has put on my heart, that I've been thinking about and meditating on, I guess, since the last service. So I just am glad to be here today. I truly am. And I hope everybody in their hearts can say that too. I hope they can say that they're truly glad to be in the Lord's house to serve God today. Because God is watching and he's looking down and he's looking at the hearts of each and every one. And he knows our hearts and our thoughts and intents this morning. And as long as our hearts are right, he'll meet with us just like he has been. We need to go to the Lord in prayer, but before we do, would there be a thought or a word on anyone's heart this morning?
Brother Armstrong.
remember my sister that had the stroke has a broken ankle. And like, y'all pray for her that it'll heal back like it's supposed to. And I'd like to report that Gary is doing some better. Appreciate the prayer.
All right, appreciate that. And let's continue to remember their son and her sister and their recovery. Someone else this morning.
Brother Ray, I'm glad to be here this morning. Lord put it on my heart to come and thank the church for coming to the Old-Fashioned Gospel Hour. I'd like to tell you something that happened at the Old-Fashioned Gospel Hour. Last year, the station we were on in Knoxville said we won't broadcast local programming anymore. So we had to find another station. And when we found another station, the area was almost three times as much. And I felt like calling a preacher that I knew up there that did belong to Antioch in the faith. And he went back up there and he was pastoring a church. And I asked him if they would like to do a tape. And we would broadcast it on the Knoxville station. And he agreed to, and if nothing happens next Sunday, we'll do two tapes in Knoxville.
Amen. Amen. The Lord will bless His Word. I'm so thankful for that. How He loves this world so much. He wants the truth to get out. He wants everybody to know Jesus. He wants them to know that He died for their sins. And I'm just thankful for that this morning. And pray for this service that there'll be a great effect from it. Someone else this morning. Let's remember this family and pray for her. Lord would help her through this situation. Someone else this morning.
My great-grandson's going to have surgery tomorrow week. I have his tonsils removed. I think he's got some more problems, so remember him.
All right. Let's remember him in our prayers. Anyone else this morning? All right, let's remember Cindy this morning. Continue to remember all those that are healing from their surgeries and let the Lord continue to strengthen their bodies and give them grace. Missionaries and our efforts and their efforts as they're out, that the Lord would watch over and keep them safe wherever they might be and help them through their works. Anyone else this morning? Let's remember this family and their loss. I also went to a funeral this last week. Ask you to pray for the Dykus family. He'd been suffering with cancer for quite some time, and passed away this week, so I ask you to remember them also. Anyone else this morning? If not, we need to go to the Lord in prayer. Let's remember all these requests. Let's don't forget our lost. Don't forget our lost. Had a heavy burden for some people of late. The Lord is working. He's working and He's moving. Let's be diligent. Be about the Lord's business. And He can take care of the rest of the stuff. Nothing else to be said or done. Brother Quinn, would you please? Kind and gracious, most loving and merciful God, and just bow one more time humbly before you this morning. We bow, dear Lord, in thanks, dear Lord, for this grace, day and opportunity that you've given us, Lord, to stand. Lord, as we need your help this morning, God, we ask you, O Lord, just to guide us and direct us, dear Lord, according to thy will, dear Lord, on those things that you might have us to say, dear Lord. I ask, dear Lord, that you be able to use me, Lord, this morning, to your honor, to your glory. I ask the Lord that you be, dear Lord, with the request made today, dear Lord, those in Sunday school, Lord, that you just be with each one in each situation, dear Lord, all those, dear God, that are sick, dear Father, that you be with them, Lord, and you give grace and strength, and if God, heal their bodies, Lord, we pray, Lord, for thy will, Lord, and pray, dear Lord, for all those families that are dealing with the situations, Lord, that you help them, dear Lord, in this their time, dear Lord, to know what to do and how to do these things, dear Lord, that's pleasing to thee, Lord, and we just pray, dear God, for churches, Lord, for our missionaries, dear God, that are reaching the truth, dear Lord, that you just watch over and guide and bless them, provide their needs, Lord. We pray, dear Lord, for the work, Heavenly Father, the old-fashioned gospel hour and that work, Lord, that you would just bless it, dear Lord, and help, dear Lord, to that the gospel message might go out, Heavenly Father, and bless those, dear Lord, that undertaking the responsibility of doing it, Lord, that you just help them, dear Lord, and guide them, dear Lord, in those things that needs to be done, dear Lord, and be pleasing, Lord, unto thee, Lord, and we just give you thanks this morning for all your blessings, Lord. We pray, dear God, for our lost Heavenly Father. We just ask them, Lord, just convict them and draw them, dear Lord, that they would seek you to be saved is what we pray, and we just give you all thanks, honor you, Lord. Ask you for those Lord, our sins. In Jesus' name we humbly beg and pray. Amen.
Turn to page 265.
Come on, my friend.
Given to me, and I meant to read it earlier, but I forgot it. Says, thank you so much for your thoughtfulness and your prayers, which I need so much. Not that I might be saved, but for my health. I've been saved for 81 years. And it says, you're so thoughtful, and I'm so thankful. Sent from Sister Kemp, sent this to the church this morning, thanking us for her prayers. And I think that's it's pretty good testament. Pray for her health, but you ain't got to worry about her salvation. She's been saved for 81 years. I've got a thought that's been on my heart since last Sunday. And as I've been studying and meditating over this week, I ask for your prayers today as I try to stand and bring forth these things that God has given me to say today. And I just pray that His will be done. And I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning from the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 12. It says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of the glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. And I want to also turn over, if you will, in the book of Malachi, in the third chapter, in the first three verses. Malachi chapter 3, starting verse 1, it says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare a way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delighteth in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, but who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. He shall set as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. My thoughts this morning would be, if I had to title my sermon, would be a refining process. Each and every one of us that have been saved by God's grace must go through a refining process. And we read here in Malachi in this, I believe it's speaking of in here sending a messenger to prepare a way for the Lord. I believe it's speaking of John the Baptist. And I believe he was speaking about John. And we can turn over into the New Testament as we see this is the last book in the Old Testament. We can see prophecy fulfilled in the gospel message when Jesus come into this earth. I believe that Jesus was sent to this earth to purify a people unto his name. I believe he was sent to this earth to be a refiner. I know we often tend to think of Jesus as being the one that loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins. He was our ransom that paid the sin debt for us. He's our buckler. He's our Savior. There's so many good things, but I want to this morning say that he is a refiner of his people. When you look at this in the third chapter, he speaks of being a refiner, and what a refiner is, purifying of metal is what it is. It's purifying of metal. It's spoken of as a purifier of gold and of silver, that these metals are heated up to a certain point. And when they get liquefied, all the impurities come to the top and roll off to the side. I believe that Jesus, through his word and through his teaching, through the teachings of the apostles, that was divinely inspired by God, that through these teachings, they are sent here to us to purify us as a people. Purify us as a people unto God. And I feel that it's important that we know and understand that. We have many things and situations going on at the church. We have many people that's sick. We have many problems and trials and tribulations in families that is going on at this present time. But, you know, we have to know and understand that this is in accordance with God's word and God's will. That it over here in our reading, in this 12th verse, it says, "Think it not strange concerning a fiery trial." Think it not strange. Don't be shocked that something happens to you that makes you uncomfortable, that you're uneasy about, that you don't know how to handle. Don't be shocked. Because we all are faced with trials and temptations as we go through this life. I mean, the Lord tests us and tries us, and he puts us under that old fire. And he melts us down, and all those impurities roll off. And each and every time we get melted down, and each and every time those impurities come off, the Lord looks at us and he sees his reflections in us. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to reflect Christ in our lives, in the way that we live, in the things that we do. The Bible speaks of many times, we can look over here and the third chapter of the book of Matthew. And we can see that it's speaking of Jesus. And I believe this is a fulfillment of what I read in Malachi. The 11th verse, it says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize thee with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." See, all those impurities that when they was harvesting the wheat and they was trying to get the grain out of the wheat, all the chaff, all the impurities, everything that they wasn't going to use would fall through the cracks or would be blown off and it would be burned up. Only keeping that which was useful. When we go through hardships and trials, temptations in our life, we can be assured of one thing, that we serve a Lord and Savior that the Bible says that was tempted in all points as we were, and yet without sin. That makes him worthy to be the one that when we go through these trials and these temptations, as we're being tried in the fire, as our feet has been put to the flames, that we can turn to him. because he's got the answers. He's got the guidance. He's got the direction that we need in our lives to direct us in whatever we may do. He's got the grace, and he's got the mercy, and he's got the love to uplift us out of any situation, trial or tribulation that we go through in our lives. It's important that we know that Jesus is the one that we need to turn to. It's important that we know that Jesus is the one that's doing the purifying. Jesus is the one doing it. Yes, Jesus loves us, and he's doing it because he loves us. We talk about walking about this earth and being a light to the world, being like Christ. Well, he's doing that we might be like him more. Each and everything that we go through, that we have to deal with, he's doing it that we would be more like him, that when we're melted down, that impurities and that dross is pushed off. It's taken out of us. Reflecting Christ's image in our lives. It's so important. You know, we've been, I mentioned earlier, we've been having some very blessed services. The Lord has been meeting with us, and he's been guiding us. But it was through my study and my meditation and my thoughts this week, you know, it come to us, and even this morning I heard somebody say, you know, it can't all be up. You know, the Bible speaks of mountains and valleys. It's easy to serve God when we're on the mountain, like that song we sung this morning. But when we get down in those valleys, that's when our faith is tested. That's when we're tested. We're tried. The Lord just wants us to turn to him. He just wants us to put the things of the world, the impurities, the sins of this flesh, he just wants us to put those things aside and turn to him. Be more like Jesus. Be more Christ-minded in our lives as we walk about our day-to-day lives and go out into this world. Be more Christ-minded. We studied in Sunday school this morning about the church, that Jesus came to this earth to save sinners, to set up his church, to give a gospel to a lost and dying world. And I believe that we are to be reflective of what we preach and what we teach. Just as Jesus knows. He knows that we have to have our feet put to the fire. He knows we need to be tried and tested. That our faith will be strong in him. Because if we're never tried or never tested, when it comes right down to it, we won't be worth a blood nickel. We'll turn away from God, and we'll seek some other means of comfort, some other means of direction, some other means of guidance other than God Almighty that has the answers to all and is able and willing to help us in any situation that we have in our lives. He expects that from us. But again, that is why we are being refined today. You know, this is the same thing I spoke of, sanctification. It's the same thing. It's that process of being more Christ-like. And sometimes we get in our minds that this process is something that we're going to do when we want to do. You know, if you've been saved by God's grace, if you've truly been saved by God's grace, then this process is going to come upon you whether you like it or not. Because it's a part of the refining process that God expects for his people. He expects them to reflect his image. And the only way that he can do that, just look down in your lives and say, Barry, you don't need that in your life anymore. You need to get rid of that.
don't need to be there. It's hindered you from serving God. And I don't know what it might be for you, but I know of hindrances in my life that the Lord has shown me that I had to get rid of, that I had to get them out of my life. They was hindering my service to God. They was hindering me from reflecting the image of Christ in my walk and my talk. The Lord showed me that. And during that process, it's not easy. It doesn't feel good. It's not a pleasant thing. The Apostle Paul speaks so many times in his writings about the suffering for Christ's sake. It wasn't for him, but he was suffering for Christ's sake. All the things that he went through, he'd done it for Christ's sake because he loved the Lord that much. And he wanted people to know the Lord that he loved that much. You know, I believe that we can read in the Bible, and it says, actually over in 1 John 2:19, that they left us because they were not a part of us. I believe that the Lord has a way of refining His church too. I believe that He has a way of clearing out the dross and taking things, the impurities, out of the church. I believe He so clearly does that. I believe that there are times and instances, there's teaching in God's Word, like in Matthew, the parable of the seed that fell on the stony ground. And it grew up fast. But because it didn't have much root, it was scorched and withered away by the sun. It didn't turn. He was looking at the wrong person. Didn't have any root. Didn't have any foundation. And I particularly believe it meant that he didn't have salvation. I believe when the Lord puts the fire to somebody's feet that hasn't been saved by God's grace and don't know God's love, that when the heat gets turned up and trials and temptations in their life and sorrows befall them, that they will turn away from God instead of turning to God. I believe that's what the Bible teaches. It's important for us that we not be like the world, but that we turn to God and not to the world or something else. God refines His people. He's called our lives to be lives of gold. He's called us to be that way. You know, there's so much into my study, and I don't know if I'll have time to get through all this. I don't know if I'll go through all of it. But there's a difference in suffering for Christ's sake instead of our mistake. There's a difference in suffering for Christ's sake instead of our mistakes. Paul, in his writings, like I said, made mention so many times of suffering for Christ's sake. We can look back into the Old Testament and we can find two examples. One of, actually both of them in the book of Daniel, the ones that I thought of. Daniel himself, when the decree come down that nobody was to make a petition to any other god other than him. And if they did, that they would be thrown in a lion's den. And Daniel prayed three times a day. And those people that made that decree go into effect, they told the king, Daniel is praying to another god. Throw him in a lion's den. This was a man that was suffering for the cause of God. His suffering was because of God and His purpose. And the Lord watched over him, didn't He? The king hated what he had done, and he hollered down after the day was over and asked him if he is all right. And he said, "My Lord has closed the mouth of the lions. I'm fine. I'm all right because my God that I serve, the one that I'm upholding, has closed the mouths of the lions. And I'm fine." You know, just as he said that God sent an angel down to close the mouths of the lions, I believe that when we get in the conditions and our trials and tribulations and we turn to God, I believe that angel will come down and he'll help us in our situations. See, we serve the same God. Just because this was an Old Testament book, it's the same God that we serve today, and He still works in the same way, because He does not change. His Word says that He does not change. We look on in this same book, we read about three men that refused to bow down to an idol god. And the king was going to throw them in a burning, fiery furnace. You see, now that's some trial and tribulation there, isn't it? I don't think any of us have ever even thought about, in our service to God, being thrown in a burning, fiery furnace because we wouldn't bow down to another god that we don't serve, to an idol god. But these men, they stood faithful. They believed that the Lord would deliver them if it was His will. And He did. They were cast into that burning, fiery furnace, and the Bible says that there wasn't a thread on their coats even singed. And they come out unharmed. Completely. That's the God that we still serve today. As we think about these things that we wrote, it says, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on the part He is evil spoken, on their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody." I believe that, as this said in here, as I said, there's a difference in suffering for Christ, and there's a difference in suffering for your mistakes, for your sins. And I believe it's handled differently. I believe the Lord looks down when it says in here, "But let none of you suffer." See, there's suffering that goes on. We do things wrong in our lives, and we know better. We willingly do these things, and we know better. I believe that when we willingly do these things, knowing better and knowing the God that we serve, that He sees everything and He knows everything about us, that there's a punishment involved in that. And there's it's not like the trials and the temptations. The Bible tells us that there is no trial of temptation that He will put on any of us that we cannot bear. That He's always right there with us. In this purifying process, that we might be more Christ-like. But when we go out and willfully sin against God, when we go against the Lord and do things that we should not do, whatever that might be, Wherever this message is directed, Lord knows this morning, and you know in your heart if it's you or not. But if you go out and you willfully do those things, there's a suffering involved with that too. And I believe with all my heart that these things that we will suffer while we're right here on this earth. I believe we will. Many people think, I believe, that they read that scripture in 2 Corinthians that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that one day that when this life is over, that we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we're all going to just be in a long line and we're waiting for the Lord to chastise us and to whip us. I don't think that's the way it is. I don't think that's the way it's going to be at all. If you're saved by God's grace, I believe you're judged. The Bible teaches that He's going to put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. I believe you're either judged, lost, or saved. I believe that for the works that you have done in this life, I believe you either receive a reward or loss of reward when you get to heaven. But I believe we will answer for the chest. I believe we will feel the chastising hand of God upon us in our lives when we willfully do things wrong against God and His Word. When I say willfully, that we know better. We know we shouldn't do it. And yet we go ahead and do it anyway. We feel the chastening hand of God. We can look in the book of Hebrews, and it tells very plainly in the 12th chapter. And I knew this might be a long sermon today, so y'all bear with me. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening hand of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. See, if the Lord doesn't deal with you, there's a bigger problem. If the Lord doesn't get a hold of you when you go out and do something wrong, there's a bigger problem. You're lost. You're not one of His children. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit. The Lord chastens us for our profit. It's another part of the refining process. It's still a part of that refining. It's still bringing the impurities out, but it's I guess you might say, it's doing it the hard way. I don't know about y'all, but most of my life I've been hard-headed, and I've had to learn the hard way on a lot of different things. I might have known better growing up. I might have been taught as a child better not to do things. And then knowingly go along and do that. And I suffer because of it. See, this morning, I don't want anybody to have to suffer. I just don't. I want you to know and understand this process, how the Lord works and how the Lord deals with His people. I believe with all my heart and mind this morning that people are able to discern and know and understand the trials and temptations as opposed to the chastening hand. I believe you know it. Because I believe you know that if you sin, because the Holy Spirit of God will bring it to your face. He'll put it right here. He'll show it to you.
We serve a big God this morning. We serve a loving God. He wants us to reflect His image. He truly does. And, you know, we can be hard-headed and we can be stubborn. And we can be chastised day after day until the Lord says, that's enough. I don't know anybody's hearts this morning. But understand, there is a difference. You know, there's so many more verses that I could go through this morning. But I'm gonna close with this. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, in the 18th verse it says, "For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Brothers and sisters, we're going to suffer. We're going to be tried. We're going to be tested. We can't have the mind of the people of Israel when they were going to the promised land. We can't be murmuring and whining and fussing and griping. We need to look for the direction of the Lord and just keep our mind Christ-centered and doing things. If not, He's going to say, take another trip around the mountain. I believe the Lord is truly blessing this church. His Spirit has been upon it of late. I truly see great things could be happening. Great things could happen here. And they have been. Not that they haven't. But I feel through and by this sermon that the Lord was giving me this morning. There is the repentance that needs to take place in the lives of God's people. I believe that we are told to take these things to the Lord. You know, I don't know, to be quite honest with you, I don't know if we'll get a whole lot of ease out of the chastening hand of sins that we've done that we knew we shouldn't do. I don't know if we'll get a whole lot of ease about that. But I know on all the trials and tribulations that go through this refining process, through this sanctification of our bodies until we reach to that point one day when we are no longer here and we get that glorified body, that perfect body where there'll be no sin. I believe we're in a process. And I believe it's a day-to-day work. It's not nothing that we can do overnight. I believe it's a day-to-day, step-by-step, keep looking to the Lord process. And that's just exactly the way He designed it. That's the way He wants it. Because He knows that's what we have to have. He wants us dependent upon Him for everything that we do in this life. Turn to Him. Lift Him up. Reading on right here, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption in the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We got to keep waiting. One of these days we're going to have that glorified body. We keep working. We keep going on. We keep striving through this life and dealing with whatever the Lord gives us. And we do it willingly, without murmuring. Because I don't want anybody that they suffer for those sins that they knew better. That chastening hand of God. I'm speaking from experience. I know it's hard. Your parents can whip you. And mine did. But you know how you got direction from your parents? They say, don't you do that. If you do that, you're going to get this. I'm telling you right now, don't do it or you're going to get a whipping. If you're saved by God's grace, God treats you as His child. And He will whip you. But He will whip you because He loves you. He will whip you to refine you into the image of His Son. God bless you. That's my message this morning. I want today, if I don't know the hearts of anybody here, but you know your own heart. I said, in this reading, this repentance has to start in the church. That was in my reading today. The Lord expects His people to be repentative people. When I was growing up in the church, people stood up and asked the church for forgiveness for things that they'd done wrong. The Lord had showed them, and they was burdened down so heavy that they needed to come clean. They needed to make things right. They'd already been talking to the Lord. But it had to go further. I don't know the hearts of anybody this morning, but if you're here this morning, this old Mourner's Bench right here that we call, it ain't just for sinners. It's for people to mourn over their sins. If you didn't come to this bench this morning and talk to the Lord, ask Him to forgive you for your sins, if you're a saved person, then it works the same way. If you've done something that you need to apologize to this church about, by all means, do so. The Lord's instructed this service. It's been on me all week. Couldn't sleep last night. Thought about it all night long. I know it's for a reason and I know it's for a purpose. I just pray this morning. Something needs to be said or done. I want you to give you the opportunity. I don't want you to feel the chastening hand of God. Brother Bert, I want us to have a song. I'm going to have an altar call this morning. If you're here lost this morning, if you don't know the Lord and the free pardon of sin, this altar is open. You need to seek God to the saving of your soul. And then, once you get to that point, you'll start that refining process that I've been preaching about this morning. But if you've been saved by God's grace and you need to get something clean, make something right before God, today is the day. I don't know about y'all, but I want His Spirit to continue to meet with us. I want Him to continue to bless our church. I want to continue to see visitors coming. I want to continue to see lost coming in, hearing the gospel message, coming in and being saved. Repentance starts at church.
It starts at the house of God, getting things right before Him. And then once we get ourselves right before God, we're in a condition and a position where we can serve God unabided, that things won't be in our way. We don't have to walk around them every time we try to do something. Brother Bird, let's have a song. I hush.
Turn to page number 111, sing the first and last verse.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There the precious fountain, free to all a healing stream.
Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." I hope this morning nobody has let pride get in their way doing what they needed to do. I hope there's none of us here this morning that feel that we're above sin. The Bible, Apostle Paul told Timothy in both of his writings, said in the last days, people will be turning away from God. There'll be no fear of God in their lives, in their minds. There's no fear of the wrath of God. No fear of the chastening hand of the Lord. Perilous times, he called. Pray this morning, everybody's
hearts and minds are clear. Be a thought or a word on anyone's heart. If not, I'm gonna ask that we close the service today with an altar prayer, that we all meet in the altar here. Take your cares to the Lord. Serve God the best we know how. Hold the kingdom with us in the altar. Close the service from here.
Pray these things, Heavenly Father. We just give you thanks, oh God, for all